Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Morning, we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Ask your neighbor, have you been praying? I wonder. We're going to pray. Thank you, flowers. Oh, you can put your hands together for them. Wow. This morning, we're going to pray. What are we going to pray about? You're going to pray for yourself. Amen. Oh, are you there? Hey, why are you suddenly quiet? You're going to pray for you. Because you came expecting that, oh, after the singing, then there will be preaching. If all that we do today is pray, it's not bad. Yeah. And the pastor wants us to pray because she has not prepared. My notes are more than I can preach. It's more than I can preach. When I was preparing, I said, oh, this matter, I can't even finish. But this morning, I want us to pray. Amen. Do you know what we're going to pray about? There's something called a dark cloud. A dark cloud, when it lands, it brings darkness with it. And we can see that there's a dark cloud hovering. Are you there? It's hovering over the campus. It's hovering over many of you. Yeah. And we're going to push it back this morning. Are you ready to pray? Oh, I said, are you ready to pray? Yeah. We're going to pray because we have a God who delivers. And we're going to say, Lord, deliver us from evil. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, the last line there, deliver us from evil. In actual fact, the original translation says, deliver us from the evil one. Today, I'm going to pray for yourself. Many of you, you don't really pray. Is it true or it's not true? You have made God like your ATM. Lord, I need money. Lord, I need what? My laptop. Lord, I need my CWA must go up. Lord, I need her to say yes. Lord, I need him to see me. Are you in the house? But this morning, I want you to lift up your voice and you're going to say, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. How do we know that there's a dark cloud? I can tell you there are many, many signs. If I ask a question today, did you read your Bible yesterday? And if I ask a question today, did you read your Bible today? I know the answer I'll get. As I look at your face, I can see it. Are you in the church? And you cry, you have come early to church. So what about those who come late? What about those who don't come at all? Do you agree that we should pray? I said, do you agree that we should pray? Hey, you are very quiet, oh. Those of you at the middle towards the back there, do you agree that we should pray? Those in the black t-shirts, do you agree that we should pray and cheers? Okay, beautiful. I want us to just lift up our voice. Some of you, God hasn't heard from you for a long time. This morning, just lift your voice up. Just lift your voice up. We're talking to Him. We're talking to the Lord this morning. We're talking to the Lord this morning. Lord, deliver me. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the cloud of evil settling over the campus. Deliver us, O God, from every plan of the enemy. Deliver us, O God, from Satan. Deliver us, O God. Deliver us from those who will trip us up. Deliver us, O God, from those who will make us fall down. Deliver us, O God, from our own thoughts and minds. Deliver us, O God, from the things that are making our life dim. Deliver us, O God. Lift your voice up, even if it's 5 minutes, we're praying. Lift up your voice and pray. Lord, A lot of messages coming in of different things. My parents are divorcing. Somebody told me that something has happened. She gave me 3-4 things that have happened one after the other. But this morning, and there are many of us, different things. We want to pray for a divine turnaround. We were led a few meetings ago by our Father to pray for a divine turnaround. Are you with me? Oh, are you with me? Yeah, we're going to pray for a divine turnaround. And if this topic concerns you, put yourself inside. If it concerns your friend, put yourself inside. If it concerns your family, are you there? And it also concerns us as a church. Nowadays, we find that people are just, you know, you sleep until last minute. Then you come to church. There's no engine working inside of you. We need a turnaround. Are you there? We need a turnaround. What happened to our love for God? What happened to our love for church? What happened nowadays? Self-preservation is what we are seeing. Pastor D, are you ready with my slide? Can you put it up? Yeah, then just put the slide up so that we can follow it. Hallelujah. Please give me the scripture. Proverbs 13 verse 12 in the Message Bible. Proverbs 13, 12. Tell your neighbor, don't get tired at all. Yeah. Proverbs 13, 12. Look at it. Unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick. How many of us have been heartsick before? Do you understand what it means by heartsick? You're disappointed. You're disappointed. Some of you, you got your results, you are disappointed. Not that you had trails, but it wasn't as you expected. The one you expected A rather was C. Hey. But a sudden good break can turn life around.
Hey!
A what? A sudden good break. How many of us are? You like a sudden good break. Amen? Sudden good break. You have been reading now, we have been praying now, but the brain is still not holding the information. But as we are praying, there's going to be a sudden break that will turn things around. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm believing God that the time will come when in this church, first class is more common than second upper.
Prophet.
Hey, first class is more common than second lower. Yeah. If we believe God is possible, if we believe your brain, it's not possible. Or you don't get me. According to your brain, what's the distribution? Few first class, isn't it? Then more second upper, second lower, then a few. We don't like it. We like this one. First class. And then, yes. Are you there? But we need a turnaround. And I, as your pastor, I'm also believing for a turnaround. That you become more spiritual than you are. That you desire to pray. Not that somebody has to coax you to pray or give you laws and rules. But you will like God. Today I'll be talking about the word of God. That you will love it. Because that's where our source of life is from. If you don't like the source, I don't know how it will be well with you. Lift your voice up. I want us to make these confessions first. Can you please give us the confessions if we can see it? Yay. Okay, just say it after me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I decree.
That my life is turning around.
Oh God.
Oh God.
Turn my captivity around.
In
the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I command a divine turnaround in my finances. I announce a divine turnaround in my health. Home and abroad. A happy turnaround has occurred.
Let the wind, the earth, the atmosphere,
and all creation
accept the turnaround.
Grant a divine turnaround.
In 24 hours, somebody receive it in 48 hours.
In 72 hours, receive it. A divine turnaround on the home front.
In the life of our church.
A divine turnaround in our children and marriage. Let a glorious and divine turnaround of all my issues come now. In the name of Jesus.
I decree
that a turning point and a divine turnaround have come. Lift your voice for a few minutes. Our prayer is ending, but lift it for a divine turnaround. In the name of Jesus. because of our prayer this morning, some CWAs are turning around. Oh, yes. Somebody's finances are turning around. There's a turnaround in the situation at home in the name of Jesus. All the things concerning you, the evil one has been kicked out and a turnaround has happened. Begin to just thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Begin to thank him. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are thankful, Lord. This is our confidence.
Oh, we are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful, Lord. Thank you.
Lord, we are thankful for answered prayers. We are thankful that this is your will. We are thankful. We are thankful.
Hallelujah. We give you all the praise and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints shall say, amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Are you not refreshed from the little prayer that we have done? Hallelujah. My prayer is that you begin to enjoy prayer more and more. Amen and amen. Beautiful. Well, this morning I'm going to start preaching. But before I do, I just want to give you a couple of announcements. The first announcement is that Agenda 5 begins today. Amen. What is Agenda 5? It means that from now, 10 hours of study every day. I always get questions. How is it possible? It's possible when you stop watching series. It's possible when you stop talking nonsense. It's possible when you decide to work. Am I talking to some people in the house? Do you know how much time you spend chatting? Do you know the worst one of all? Doom scrolling. You said, I'm just checking it for 2 minutes. No. Wait, was it not 2 minutes you said you were going? 5 minutes. Then what happened? 2 hours have gone. Yeah, 2 hours have gone. So, I mean, I'm just showing you some of the leaking places. Amen. So we want to study for 10 hours. And then if you don't have a study group by this time, I'm not so sure how to advise you. Because it's a little late in the semester, but join a working study group. All the people who come to me that I have trails, all of them, about 90% are not in a study group. Yeah, because they believed themselves. So if you have a CWA of 80 and you're not in a study group, I salute, I understand. You're okay. A CWA of 75, I won't quarrel with you. But if you are 70, I'll begin to wonder, because 70 to slip into 69.8 is just, yeah. So you should have one. Now, Shillerism. What is Shillerism? We encourage you as you study, and even more for this generation, because most of your studying is digital. Digital work or digital things, it bypasses a very critical link that you need. And that is the link between your hand and your brain. It's bypassed when you are doing digital studying. So Shillerism is extremely important for you. That is when you take the paper, you fold it into four, and then you're just writing notes as you are going along. The main points. What happens is that there's a link between that and your brain. Are you in the church? And when you go digital, that link is broken. That link is broken, you see. And unfortunately for you, you're going to write your answers. Yeah, you're going to write it. Even if you type, you need that link between your hand and your brain. So use it to make those short notes. You will remember them. You'll go into the room, you'll see the question, and what will come to your mind are those little notes that you wrote down. In fact, until you can write them, you're not sure that you can recall them. Yeah. Then also have your past questions and go through them. Amen. Oh, mind me. You know what it is. I shouldn't go through. Every time we go through it, and yet you don't do. You don't do. So allow me. Don't do your too known. Yeah. And then redeem the time. The Bible talks about redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You redeem the time. You use it well. You go and you put your time together. Put yourself together. Are you in the house? Take out the time wasters. And you see, we pray. But let me tell you something. There is a God part and there's a you part. As for God, he always do his bit. But you need to do your part also. Are you in the church? Beautiful. Let us pray. Father, as we come before your word, I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us. I pray, Lord, that we will be encouraged on our way. And Lord, help us to make a change in our lives that will actually impact us. We are grateful and we thank you so much for your hand with us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Beautiful. From last week, I believe we started talking about the atmosphere, and we are continuing this week. Ask your neighbor, what kind of atmosphere is around you? if you came to the convention, did you notice that almost every day Bishop spoke about the atmosphere? He said, there's an atmosphere. You see, it was an atmosphere that made ministration very easy. It was an atmosphere for miracles. Oh, you didn't hear him say things like that. Yeah. We can also go to places where the atmosphere is not conducive. And you will go in there and you will leave without doing anything. Jesus met an atmosphere that was not conducive in Mark, and he just left. Are you there? He didn't do much. He just left. But we want to have a kind of atmosphere that causes us to thrive. And so we are continuing today with our study on the atmosphere. And our message is actually coming from a camp. We often give you the reference point because there's nothing hidden over here. Amen. We are not juju men and we are not magicians. Everything, it has a source. And it's the word of God that's being preached to us. This message is coming. We actually have a camp called the Atmosphere Camp, you know, and you can see the QR code there. You can also go to Dark Sermons and look for it and then download the sermon, the things there, and listen. Are you with me? So all that we'll be doing in our services are to give you tidbits that are going to just help you and that are going to just encourage you. So let's go on with our message this morning. And the first thing that we need to remember, okay, let's do this definition. Let's define atmosphere, because some of you, as soon as we say atmosphere, you start thinking about the atmosphere, you know, outside of the earth. The stratosphere. No, we are here. The atmosphere. It is the combination of the physical and the spiritual factors that characterize the environment within which you live. Amen? Is the what? The physical and the spiritual, both of them together. Amen? That's why many who live in a dirty room, we kind of can, you know, it's a certain atmosphere. And you think you are okay. Many of you boys, when we come onto the floor where you live, we can smell that guys live here. I know that guys are not excited with what I'm saying, but it's actually true. It's the smell of their sleeping cloth from when they were in SHS-1. Their cloth has never seen water. It's the smell of their dirty laundry. It's the smell. You see, you are very quiet as I'm speaking of. But it's real. That's why one of the first signs that happens when these young men get married, you see that they start to put on weight. Or they start to look a little filled out. It's not any magical. It's just that the atmosphere is better. That's all. They have married their personal maid, their personal servant, their personal cook, their personal cleaner, and that's all. Why are you eyeing me? What I'm saying is true. If you be man, challenge me here. It's real. But you don't have to wait until this. One of the blessings of marriage, but you don't have to wait until that. At least live in something that you can thrive, Kakra. You can live a little bit. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah, it's important. Maybe you don't know it, but it's affecting you. It's affecting you. When you go into an office where real work is being done, usually it's a neat place. Yeah. You can tell the kind of work going on based on what you are seeing. You can go into a lecturer's office, it's like a baller. The lecturer is often like a baller. His teaching is like a baller. The whole human being is like a baller. Then you can go into another lecturer's office. Same, they were all given the same thing. Oh, but you go to another one and you see the shelves are there. You see the books. You see the something. And you just see a different, yeah, because you're affected by your atmosphere. And the one in the dirty environment, he doesn't know that if he cleaned it up, he would perform far better. Are you in the church? Some of you don't like going home because the atmosphere in your room here is better than the one at home. Some of you girls know the kitchens in which you cook. The oil bottles, 5 of them standing. One of them has been there since 2014. And you just be pouring the oil inside. You see, you. When your mother is screaming and she says, wash the saucepan, there's a reason. Oh. Yeah. It's all part of the whole physical environment. Then there are spiritual factors as well. And you need some spiritual sensitivity. Are you there? Yeah. Because some of you spend a lot of time in spiritually unhealthy environments. Because you don't realize that that's the information you were being given, but you didn't realize that it was so. I remember being somewhere with my husband one time. We'd actually come there just to relax. The next morning, I couldn't have my quiet time. The prayer was just not working. And at first, I thought it was me. I mean, you know how sometimes you're just out of it. But it lasted the first day, the second day. So it was, I think, the second day. Then my husband asked me that, have you been able to pray? I said, he said, Charlie, it's where we are. Let's get out of here. He just realized, yeah, one time, it was a place with people very precious to our hearts who were there, but we just, please, we're out of here. Are you there? So the spiritual atmosphere also is very important. Some of you, when you change your room, you just move into the room. You just move in. You don't know Quasimodo was living there before you came. They don't know Quasimodo, this generation. They don't know any classics, so they don't know Quasimodo. Are you in the church? You don't know what was living there before. Do you think the atmosphere in the room, two unmarried people who were blowing themselves living there, do you think that that atmosphere is okay? It's not okay. It has. There's a double, you will come and inherit it. There is a demon who has not been sacked. He's waiting for you. He has perched in the corner. Somebody who was daily, his daily diet, breakfast, pornography, lunch, pornography, supper, pornography. There's a demon there. Then you come, you don't even pray, you don't sanctify the room, you don't do anything, you just move in, you pray, I'm tired, put your things down, you sleep. That's why your spiritual life is as it is. Why do you think many of you, when you came from home in first year, your common sense was working? By the middle of the first semester, it was gone. Article, subject to the spiritual factors in the atmosphere. Subject things that were not there before you came. So when you arrived, you were okay. But now your whole mind, you have become cynical. You have become hard. When the word of God is coming, cry. As the word is coming, you are bouncing it. As it's coming, your pride is bouncing it. As it's coming, you are bouncing it. You were not like that. You were not like that. It's the spiritual factors, the spiritual atmosphere around you. That's what's affecting you. Hey, are you there? Let's get on to the atmosphere. Now, you see, it's important for you to understand it because you will see that the scriptures, they tell us that we are a tree. And trees are like that. One day, you see, there's a tree I was going to talk about. Do you know the tree from which Sobolo comes? The hibiscus, do you know it? Yeah. It's a shrub. It's like this. It's like this. I went to a certain country. I saw that tree. It was about 8 meters high. Same thing. At the time, I mean, we know this tree everywhere. We know it. I had never seen a hibiscus. I didn't even know that it could grow to that height. What was the difference? It's the atmosphere. It had gotten into an atmosphere that was more conducive. So the productivity was immediately different. Are you there? Hey, you are very quiet, oh. How many of us know that we eat yam in this country, but the yam, it tastes different everywhere? Well, me, I lived for 15 years in the north. I can't eat the yam that comes from here. Up till today. Up till today. Hey, you are very quiet, oh. Yeah. And the yam here comes, the fresh yams come earlier. Here by July, we are eating the fresh yam. So when I said, oh, fresh yam. Charlie, they should bring it and fry. When they fry, Charlie. So till today, I've been living here. This is my 16th year. And my supply of yam is from the north. Why? You see, you are looking at me. Oh. It's the atmosphere. It's not anybody who's done anything. It's the same seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong. But when you plant it here, more water, more of a lot of things. Up there, it begins to dry at a certain time. So the fresh yam is actually sweet. Most of the time, when we fry it, we don't even remember that it should have some pepper or something. I mean, in fact, it doesn't even make it to the table. As you are frying, it's vanishing. But here, all the fried yam, it comes to the table. When it comes, it just, you see. It's not anybody who's done anything. Are you there? It's just the atmosphere, the growing atmosphere, the atmosphere. You are there or you have traveled. And I can give you example after example. Some places in Ghana, the oranges are nicer than other places. Same seed, sometimes not necessarily a different type. It is the atmosphere. Now, in the same way, we are a tree. Let me give you a scripture, because it has to be based on a scripture, isn't it? All right. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Look at something. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Zion is the church in our modern day. Are you there? To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Can you see the things that God has for us? This is what he has for us in the church. And you are looking for it outside. Some of you are looking for beauty outside. You are looking for joy outside. That's why it's leading into the arms of different boys. You know how it is when a guy tells you that you're very beautiful, then your heart will skip. When a girl starts looking at you, but it's not real. After a short time, it evaporates. Somebody was telling me today about how the guy says that, oh, he has stopped sleeping with the girl, and now the relationship, there's nothing to it. Because he didn't realize that that's all they had. There was nothing to it. So when he now decided that we have stopped this thing, relationship cannot hold. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's why those of you who get depressed, you are the ones who should be the fastest to get to the house. Amen? Some people are naturally more prone to depression than others, depending on their temperament. You, above all, you should know that this is where the spirit of heaviness will leave you. Are you in the church or you have traveled? Yeah. Anyway, all this is just part of the scripture. But look, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The day you got born again, he planted you. The day you got born again, he planted you. So you are now in an atmosphere. Hallelujah. And we are now yet to see whether you are going to grow properly or you are going to grow. Depending on your atmosphere. Are you there? Every tree flourishes based on the atmosphere it exists in. You see, God is not trying to teach us agrico. That's not the purpose. He's not trying to teach us agriculture. But every tree flourishes based on the atmosphere it exists in. And in the same way, every Christian flourishes based on the atmosphere they exist in. Can you ask your neighbor, what atmosphere is that? Yeah. Even churches have atmospheres, different atmospheres. You can go into an atmosphere that you are in the church, but the atmosphere is heavy. There's no word. There's nothing being said to help you. Let's continue. Are you in the church? Please, there should be a slide before this one, I believe. Because today we're going to be talking about the riverside atmosphere. The riverside atmosphere. There are different kinds of atmospheres. Amen? There are different kinds of atmospheres. And today we're talking about the riverside atmosphere. I see the scripture you are giving me. Please, Psalm 92 and verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You know, some of these things there, when you read them, it's good to go into the Bible and trace what they are talking about. The Lebanon has more of an ability to grow things than Israel has. So when they say a cedar, that's a type of tree. And when they were in Lebanon, they would grow extremely high, just like the example of the hibiscus that I was giving to you. Hallelujah. And the Lord is expecting that you and I, we're going to flourish. But you know, it's not really happening. Is it happening? Can you describe your life as flourishing? Some can, most cannot. Most of us, we are existing. And we are lamenting over the news. So, we are talking about one atmosphere. There are different atmospheres. Today, we're talking about the riverside atmosphere. And I'm talking about it because I want you to create it around you. Amen? The riverside atmosphere. How do we define it? What is the riverside atmosphere? This is the atmosphere of constantly receiving, enjoying, and being around God's word. Hallelujah. Amen? A river is always there. Storms, there they come and go, but rivers, they are there. They just flow. You see. Hallelujah. Let's look for it in the scriptures. And the best place is Psalm 1. Psalm 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree. Do you know something? Can we jump out of this to Psalm 1 verse 1? I think we should take it in context. Do you agree? Yeah, so let's go to the verse 1, even though the slide says, yeah. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I hope you are taking note, because some of you, all your friends are unbelievers. Your closest friend is an unbeliever. You walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Yeah. In the Bible, when they say ungodly, when they say dead, when they say wicked, these are all descriptions of unbelievers. And you should not be content to remain in such a place. So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So this is the person that he's talking about. This is the description of the person that he's talking about. This is the person who is now like something by the riverside. So some of you, this is the first thing you need to correct. Because you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. God is pressing something on your heart, but your unbeliever lecturer, his word is stronger to you. Yeah. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. What does it mean to stand in the way of sinners? The things sinners enjoy, that's where you are. I don't want to mention names, but some of you, you spent last week, Saturday night, standing in the way of sinners. You stand in the way of sinners. Oh, I just wanted to see how it was. No problem. No problem. But you were standing in the way of sinners. That's all. And they closed at 6 a.m. And me as your pastor, I marveled because when we are here and the convention chair is small, look at your misbehavior. But you are able to stand in the way of sinners without a complaint till 6 o'clock in the morning. You are a sign and a wonder to me. Hey. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Some of you have friends, the things they say, even about your church going, it's affected your church. It's affected you. It has affected you. Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. If you are one of those, you see, now when you are even going to church, you slip out of the room so that they don't really know because of the things they say. You should have delivered yourself from there. The church is quiet. You are on your school page. Meanwhile, on your school page, they only come there to lambast men of God, and you are there. Me, I'll delete it. I'll get off. I don't think I need that atmosphere. I don't need it. Oh, you need it. What's it doing for you? You see, already you are a seed. You have spoiled your atmosphere. You have spoiled your atmosphere because what they are saying, it will upset you. Yeah. If you come and look at my phone, you won't find TikTok there. You won't find this. No. I delete it. I say, I don't need this thing. I don't need it. I used to see the snaps that you people are sending. I said, look, I don't need all this. I don't need it. I just took it all off. Long time, not today. Are you in the church? Yeah. Hey, the church is very quiet. You see, now that I'm dialing your number, now that it's becoming personal, yeah, looking at me. Listen, when we say something in the church, you know, there are some of you, they are preaching about me. You need to see that God is talking to you. That's the purpose of the preaching. So humble yourself. Can you tell your neighbor, just humble yourself. Step down from there. Humble yourself. Yeah. Just humble yourself. Just look straight. I mean, after all, who knows that you just came out of somebody else's bed? Anyway, let's move on. Verse 2. I was just trying to describe for you who they are talking about. Yeah. Verse 2. His delight, you see, so this blessed person, his delight is in the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? It's the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Do you know that nowadays we meditate on social media night and day? What happens when you put your phone down? What's the feeling like? Yeah, it's like you are even praying, but you need something. May it be broken off us in the name of Jesus. You see, rather we should say, Lord, let this be my attitude to the word of God. I'm feeling hollow because I haven't meditating. I don't have a verse cooking in my head today. Are you in the church? Or you don't want to try? Please say it that you don't want to try. So we end the service and let me just go. But and he says, in his law that he meditate day and night. Verse 3. Now then he says, if that is the, then you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Are you seeing it? Then you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's a very, very important thing. Are you in the church or you have traveled? I remember one time we were looking for some land to buy in Tamale. And we were led to a certain place. And when we got there, everything looked okay. And the man was talking to my husband. I waited until he was finished. When we sat in the car, I said to my husband that we can't buy this land from this place. And he said, why? And I said, look at something. I said, if you stand here, just look. Can you see the mango tree stretching from here all the way down? I said, there's a river here. There's a river. It's the dry season, so the top is dry. But under there, there's water. Can you see it? I said, let's come back here in the rainy season. When we came back, the river. Why were the mango trees thriving? They were thriving because their roots were deep enough to hit the water. You see, when you say this in Kumasi, you haven't said anything because Kumasi, there we have water everywhere. We have water everywhere. Everywhere there's water. But over there, it's not like that. Are you there? When they say dry season, it's really dry. I used to enjoy it for my crusades because I know that whatever happens, it's not like here that every day we are dodging rain, praying against it. There's nothing to pray about. No, just wait. I mean, more than half the year, about 8 months of the year, you'll be able to have your crusade, no problem. But I said, look at it. Oh, I said, look at it from over there. Just track it. Train. Mango trees. All the way. Green in their leaves. Everything. There's water there. There's water right there. They were by the riverside. So even though all the other trees had gone into hibernation, when the dry season is coming, they'll just lose their leaves and go into some kind of hibernation. These guys, they've not gone into no hibernation nowhere. They have access to the water. And the Bible is saying that for those of us who choose a certain kind of life, that I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to stand in the way of the sinners. I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. Are you there? My delight will be in the word of God. I'm the one who now is planted by the rivers of water. Some of your leaves are dry. Your leaves are brown. 24/7. Yes. When you come to church, the word of God is coming around while you sleep. It's one of the cardinal signs. Are you in the church? Yeah. Anyway, we shall come back to Psalm 1, verse 3, when I want to show you the blessings of the riverside. Yes. Let's continue. Acts 5:42. You see, in the New Testament church, daily they were in the temple and in every house, and they ceased not to preach, to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see, when you come to scriptures like this, if you don't take care, you have a problem. Life was very different at that time. They could meet daily in the temple. Right now, if we say daily in the temple, how many of us can make it? Because you got to work. You got to go to work. You've got to go to school. You got to do different things. And this is why you must now learn how to create your own riverside. Yeah. They came daily so that every day they listened to the word. Every day there was some teaching, some preaching, some something. Now you need to do this yourself. Are you there? Psalm 147 and verse 18. I'm going to be talking about how you're going to do that. Psalm 147 verse 18. He sends out his word and melts the ice. He causes the wind to blow and the waters to flow. We need the rivers to flow. Amen? We need the rivers to flow. So how are we going to get this? How is it going to happen? How is the word going to be around us? Four ways that the word will come to you. The first one. Four ways that the word comes to you. The first one, reading the Bible. When I got to this point, I almost took it out. Do you know why? I was arguing with God that, but God, this generation does not even own a Bible to talk about reading one. Yeah. Don't even own a Bible. Yeah. You come to church just like that. That's all the word you have. If you are here, let me give you some advice. You are a child of God. You are a Christian. Get a Bible. Buy a Bible. Buy it. Oh, I have one on my phone. Yes, but you also have... Oh, you don't understand what I'm trying to say to you. Get a physical Bible. Get it. Yes, somebody showing me her physical Bible. It's nice. Yeah. Just get a physical Bible. Have a physical Bible. You see, it is an illusion. You are saying to yourself that, oh, I have it on my phone. But the truth is that you are not reading it. How can I see that you are not reading it? You are so devoid of the word of God. You are so devoid of it. Sometimes, you see, there should be no story in the Bible that you don't know. It should just be there. You open, then you are reading. Recently, I saw some story. I was offended. I said, this story, I've never seen it before. I said, no. Because I set it as an aim. There cannot be a story in the Bible that I've not read before. Not that somebody's coming to boss me. Read the Bible. Oh, I don't know how to say it again. I can only give you scripture, Joshua 1:8. It's true. Joshua was at the crossroads of his life. Moses had died. He was about to become the leader of about how many people? Was it 6 million? They said, I've forgotten how many Jews they said they were. But they were a lot. And he was supposed to now come and lead them somewhere. And he knew that as he led them, he was also going to be moving them into war. And then God started to talk to him. And God gave him a piece of advice, which you will do well to also take to your heart and to know. He said, this book of the law, at the time, that's what they called it, the book of the law, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. When you wake up, you read the scripture. You are going to bed, you read the scripture. You see? And not just read it. Say, meditate, think about it. Are you in the church? Then he says, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. You see, one of the reasons why many of us don't do the right thing is that we don't know the right thing to do it. But as you are reading the scripture, it begins to give you instruction. You see. Then it says to Joshua that, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous and thou shalt have good success. No wonder most of us are not prosperous. No wonder. When I read the scripture, it was a wonder to me because I would have thought that the way this man is going to have to command the armies to go and fight, God should have brought him somebody who would teach him the modern fighting techniques. Do you agree or you disagree? Robson says that he should have been reading The Art of War. Now we are at war. It's also another one. He should have been honing his skills on how to shoot ball. Now, God didn't say any of that. He said, meditate on this word. If you meditate on it day and night, and if you do what is in it, it will make your way prosperous and you have good success. Yet, I have final year students in here who say, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I'm confused. I can't find my way. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. You are not reading and meditating on the word of God. If you were, you will make your way prosperous. You'll find your way. You'll find your way. You'll find your way. I don't know whether I should marry Ajua or I should marry Akosua. Meditate on the word of God. But there's no Akosua in the Bible. You see, God speaks to us by the word of God. Yes, by the word. That's how he speaks. You will read the scripture and you realize, hey, this is my answer to this, my question. It's because you have not read it. That's why you are telling me that there's no Akosua in the Bible. And he said to him that he would be successful. But here we are, a generation of Christians. You want to be successful, yet you don't read the word of God. What are you about? What are you about? You come to church, you fold your arms, you sleep. You don't write any notes. No, it's true. It's true. I've been a pastor for a while. And it's one of the things that worries me. Because you sit there as if you are intelligent. As if everything that is said, we shall remember it. Your father's generation was more clever than you. And we cry, we don't remember now. Acts chapter 17. I'm reading verse 11 and 12. In fact, let's go to verse 10 so that they'll see who we are talking about. Then we'll come to verse 11. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Okay? Are you seeing it? So we are talking about the Bereans in verse 11. These were more noble. So the Berean Christians were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They are talking about two different groups of Christians. The Bereans, they were in a town called Berea. They would receive with readiness of mind. Then they'll come and search the scriptures daily to check whether those things were so. No wonder they told you that, you come, let me bath you, and you will get money. And you went because you did not open the scripture. If you had opened, you should have asked him, what's the scripture? Master, please stay in verse 11. I haven't gone to 12. The Berean Christians, they received the word. So their receiving was great. Some of you receive the word, and you receive in such a way that men of God who come here, they feel inspired to keep teaching. But don't let that fool you. We still have those among us who don't receive the word. When you come, you bring your face as if somebody has forced you. Are you there? Receive it with readiness. I don't know how you can receive it with readiness when you don't remember it, when you don't write down anything. You must always leave church with at least a list of 6 or 7 scriptures that you yourself are going to go and read and check up on. That's how I learned the Bible. When I got born again, I was in a church that didn't preach the word. So I found a church that preached the word. Are you there? Yeah. I was under a certain limitation, so I couldn't leave where I was. But as soon as we closed, like a bullet, I'll go to the other place, and I would go armed with my notebook. And throughout the service, I would write down every scripture. I would write it down, scripture by scripture, topic by topic. When I come back home, in fact, I was doing my service and I was living on campus. From Monday through to Saturday, those scriptures were my quiet time. I would open the scriptures and I would chew them, Baba. I would learn them. Up till today, I learned them in the Revised Standard Version. That was the Bible I had. That's why sometimes when they are quoting the King James, I miss a step, because up till today, that's what's in my spirit. Are you there? That's how I learned the scriptures. I had notes from my pastor, the person who was preaching at the time, and I would actually chew the scriptures. And that's why I know that I'm dealing with a form-fooling generation. Yes, because even with that, there are so many scriptures I do not know. How much more you who never records one scripture, who never goes to open one thing to check one thing? How about that? No wonder in this generation somebody can come up to you and tell you something, something, something. Bring your laptop and you also bring. Go to your room. Bring all the money. You also bring. You have no idea what you are about, even though you call yourself a Christian. And even as I'm preaching, you appear next Sunday without your Bible. Deaf, dumb spirit that cannot be counseled. Please, don't quarrel with me. Don't quarrel with me. You see, but the Berean Christians were not like that. And that's why the Bible says they were more noble. They were of more honor than these Thessalonians. No wonder they had to write 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. You should ask yourself, why is there no book to the Bereans? There is no book because they didn't need it. They didn't need it. The word that was taught them, they learned it like that. These guys, they were always confused. Lady Reverend says that if they were writing to FOLC, we there would need 5 books. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. Are you there? They believed because they opened their Bible and check. Do you take your Bible, open it and check? Do you? Do you have a Bible to check? Even the digital one that you claim that you have. Are you there? Don't be angry with me, or it doesn't help. It's not going to change anything. That's the response of the current generation to the truth. When you speak the truth, then man they bore. You can bore all you like. It's not going to change the truth. Yeah. If you do not have a Bible, you are a plain Christian. That's all I want to tell you. Number two, we are talking about four ways in which the word comes to you. Second one, listening to preaching. I'm going to start walking people out of this service. You come, you are talking, I'll walk you out. You are sleeping, I'll walk you out. Yeah, because you don't know why you came to church. Because you have been sleeping in your lecture room. You think there's a similar lecture room for you to be sleeping. Yeah. Listening to the preaching. Are you there? Ask your neighbor, do you listen to the preaching or you just bear it? You just bear it and hope that it will end. Yeah. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Can you see it? God promised us something, but he has manifested his word through preaching. What is the effect of preaching? What does preaching do? When you say to manifest something, to make something real, to make something visible, that's what the preaching does. That's what the preaching does. How many of us were blessed when Bishop Atu was preaching? Yeah, meanwhile, he was just on one topic, 3 days. All that he was doing was making it visible to us. Making it. Are you there? Yeah, we could suddenly understand the scripture, making it visible. And that is what preaching does. So when, number one, you don't read the thing yourself. Number two, the preaching to you don't hear. Hey, you are hot. Amen? We are trying to prosper. We are trying to do well. The preaching should be around us all the time. All the time. Not the unbeliever music you have in your room. And you have it in your room because you don't contend with it. Are you there? True or not true? Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The word of God is our greatest blessing, the preaching of the word. And one of the things you will find in all the churches under Bishop Dagwood Mills is the preaching of the word. Sometimes you can go to a branch, the music there, we cannot say much about that one. We can't say much about a lot of things, but the preaching is good. Yeah, but the preaching is always good. Yeah. Submit yourself to it. You know, the pride is too much. Your pride is too much. Yeah, your pride is too much. Are you there? Your pride is a blocker. It doesn't allow the word to sit. And if you find yourself, when they say A, then you respond B. When they say A, then you respond B. When they say you are playing table tennis with the word of God, you have just cursed your life. You see. Why not just put it down? Go think about it. Go and meditate on it a little bit and see. Amen. Amen. Hey, are you in the church? Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering, Pa. Yeah. The preaching, it should be around you all the time. All the time. Some of you can travel from Accra to Kumasi on VIP. You are watching those new useless films that they are watching. You see, that's why I'm saying, create your own riverside. If you like, let's do a test. Sunday to next Sunday. Just decide, I'm going to try to change my atmosphere. The word of God all the time. So when I'm walking to campus, my whatever is in my ear, I'm listening to word. When I'm coming back, I'm listening. When I'm in my room, it's playing. Just see what is going to change between this Sunday and next Sunday. Just check it out. Yeah. Just check it out and see. Amen? Just what? Check it out and see. Those times that you say I was there doing nothing, you were not doing nothing. Nature abhors a vacuum. Satan loves it. Yeah, just there. I wasn't doing anything. You will do something. You will do something. Many of you who are subject to pornography, subject to so, it is because you have not surrounded yourself with the word of God. I promise you that your roommate who has camped a boyfriend there, if the word of God was praying all the time, the person they can't be there. The guys think now it will not work after some time. Hey, Charlie, they'll even be angry with you because their feelings will not be waking up. Yeah. Oh, Pastor, I'm burning. I agree. It's a natural state of life. Surround yourself. Surround yourself with the word of God. You will find strength to go through. Yeah. Yeah. You'll find strength to go through. Am I talking to Christians? Number three. Remember, we are talking about how the word of God comes to us. Reading Christian books is the third one. Reading Christian books. I almost hopped over this point. I almost hopped over it because it's a very painful point for me. Yeah. Jeremiah 45:1. Look at something. The word of Jeremiah the prophet. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah. Are you there? You see, Jeremiah was even in a situation. So he got somebody and he spoke and the person wrote it down. Now those words are important and they speak to us. You see, the reason why I said I wanted to hop over this is that I work with our father's books. Very wild, blessed books. Part of my work is to work with non-UD churches. And these are churches outside of Bishop Dag's ministry, but they like his ministry. The most painful thing for me is to go to those churches and see people who have taken his book and they believe what is there. Because as for our father's book, when you open the book, writing scripture, Jesus, they apply it and the church is growing. The churches are growing. Are you in the church? Then I come back to my brethren, whether First Love or UD, as empty-headed, as numbskulls that never knew how to read. Even when you have the books, you just put them down. The church is quiet because you know that what I'm saying is true. Yes. We used to try to get you to purchase the Macarius. You say, no problem. So our father put it there, free of charge online. If I want to be upset, I'll ask you to show me what you've downloaded. That was what showed me that we are determined to be poor. We are determined not to do well, because even to download a free book is too much for you. And you are the same person who walk around saying that you need direction for your life. You are looking for some prophet to lay hands on you, this, that, that. Can you not see that your life has not changed? Everything you are saying is in the book. My bacenta is not working. But our father wrote a book. Why is this church not working? When we came and said we are launching the book and we sold it, you didn't buy it, but it's online, free of charge. You've still not downloaded it. I don't have any money. Very poor. You will be poor. You will be poor. Yes. I'm not kissing you. I'm just showing you the results. Because there's a whole book there. Why non-tithing Christians are rich? Why tithing Christians are rich and how non-tithing Christians will be poor? There's another one. He that hath, to him shall more shall be given. And in it shows you the way. But you will not open the book. You will not open to it. You will be poor. You will be poor. Do you understand now why I get wild? Because I can see the answers. I see them. And I see the children who choose not to read. Then walk around in the dark. I can't find my way. I don't know my way. You don't deserve to know your way. I see other pastors. I have a friend who follows Bishop Dag. He has followed Bishop Dag since he was 19 years old. When he's starting branches, he starts them 25 at a time. You're one bacenta, you can't even lead it. Let me move on to the next topic so I don't spoil the air. I told you right now, I showed you the camp, atmosphere camp. You will appear here next week. You wouldn't even have time to it. It's online. Free of charge, with little data. Now, you won't even go there to just scroll and see what are the topics. What are the topics? Am I speaking the truth or am I lying? You thought you came to church this morning for us to say, crock you and say, then not here, not here, please, not here. Not here. Here, I'll tell you the truth. Here, I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you the truth. Our poverty is our own making. God brought you to this church to teach you how to be wealthy. And you would have helped your family, but you chose to join your family and sit in. What it means to become a shepherd shows us how to take care of people. Now I'll be, you come, please, I don't want to be a Masantalina anymore because, and I look at that thing. You have not entered the book to see it, how to become a proper shepherd. And that's why you say that you are struggling. You will struggle. You will struggle. You will struggle. A whole book, The Art of Shepherding. Just for free, oh, for free. Not that anybody's charging, for free. Just go there, download it yourself. Just download it. It's too much. It's too much. Kabasomataya. Father, help me to just jump over this point and to go into things. No, it's true. Me, mom, it pains me almost like a physical pain. Every day you should read something from a book. The books you never, you see, if you open them, you'd have discovered that chapter 24 is not dependent on chapter 14. So you can just open the book anywhere, go down the table of contents, and pick the one that concerns you. And read it. It will have given you wisdom above your years. It will have told you things you don't know. Am I talking to human beings? Sometimes when I'm talking about the books, I wish I could just go and assemble cows and talk to them. No. It is a curse, I'm telling you. This is the curse of Ham. The inability to read is a curse of Ham, which has followed the black man through the seasons. And that's why everywhere you go that the black man is, he will never take money to buy a book. But the day you see me, I broke out of it. That's why we teach on it. I said, hey, I'm going to buy the book. I'm actually going to spend money and buy it. Because just because I spend money, it will pay me. I'll read it. I'll read it. I must. The thing I spend money on. I must read it. Otherwise, I've wasted my money. I should have bought ice cream. I like ice cream, but I should have bought ice cream. Are you in the church? You are sitting here telling me that when I'm studying, I can't study. When I'm studying, my mind goes blank. Your father wrote a book about your invisible enemies. You never took the book to read it. If you had taken it to read it, and if you had prayed the prayers in there, and if you had spoken the verses, that thing would have rolled back off your mind. Rather, you need a prophet to come and lay hands on you. No wonder it came back after a while. No wonder. Demons and how to deal with. There are demons dancing around. Pastors, have you seen the demons running around your members or you have not seen it? It's only you who cannot see the demon. Recently, they were telling me somebody, then they gave me 1, 2, 3, 4. And I said, can't you see that it's a demon? That thing that they say, 1, 2, 3, 4. It was a list of, you see, it looked like bad luck. But it was too consistent. It was too consistent. You alone, this thing worked for 1, 2, 3, 4. When it got to you, it didn't work. He got an opportunity. They gave him some money. He put it somewhere. It was fake. They gave him something else. He was about to go. They took 1, 2, 3, 4. I looked at it and I just marveled. I said, can you not see a demon at work? Can't you see it? You are there saying that the people, they don't like, it's not their people. Hey! They wrote a book for you. Your father wrote a book, Spiritual Dangers. Are you in the church? Next week when you appear, come with a notebook. Arrive here with a notebook. Nobody should tell me you are writing on your phone because it's not true. Arrive with a notebook. And if nothing at all, just put down those scriptures. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going back home. This week, I'll read all those scriptures. I'll learn them. See whether your life will not start to change. And please, give it time. You have spent 25 years doing nonsense. It will not roll back in a day. No, that's how we are. We say, oh, I tried it, it didn't work. You have done nonsense for 25 years and you expect that it will roll back. It's like those of us who are overweight, when we start losing weight. We want to lose weight. We have spent 40 years gaining weight. Then we just do some one, we are on the diet small. Then as we are on the diet for 2 days, then we go and stand there. Hey, the thing you have spent 40 years gaining, do you think it's going to drop off in 2 days? Ah, come on, let's be serious. Tell somebody, let us be serious. Let us be serious. But I guarantee you something. If you change your attitude to the word of God now, and you give yourself a little time, you begin to see the changes. You begin to see it. You begin to see the changes. tell your neighbor, I'm changing. Some of you, instead of that, those phones that you are on, doom scrolling, put a message on it. When the itch comes, do you understand when I say the itch? Let the message play. Let the message play. Yeah. Let the message play. You will be amazed. You will hear a lot of things. Number four, please. I have to finish preaching. Number four, listening to Christian music. Listening to Christian music. One of the things about the songs in our house is that they are based on scripture. We can show you the scripture to which, that it applies, Because it's not all things that we call Christian music that are worth listening to. Some things are just noise. They're just making noise. But I want to move on because I quickly want to give you the blessings of the Riverside atmosphere. Please, it's not blessings that just fall on people. It's the blessings of the atmosphere that we are trying to create. The atmosphere of being surrounded by the Word of God. Waking up in the morning, reading your Bible, reading before you go to sleep, letting messages play around, reading those books, one chapter, two chapters, listening to some Christian music instead of the things you've gone to expose yourself to. Then these are your blessings. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3. In fact, verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Blessing number one, bringeth forth his fruit in season. Blessing number two, his leaf shall not wither. Blessing number three, whatsoever he does shall prosper. Let's look at the first one. Are you in the church? Your first blessing, you bring forth fruit in your season. Are you there? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8 in the NLT says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is unfortunate, but many in the house of God today are totally useless as far as God is concerned. It's true. As far as God and his work are concerned, useless. Ask yourself this. You see, these questions are for you to answer. Am I of use to God? Have you seen that? You are quiet. Am I of use to God? If I'm deleted right now, will God miss anything? Some of you have spent 4 years on the campus. As you go, nothing. But there are also people that as they are leaving, somebody is like, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. Thank you for helping me to be stable. Thank you for your kindness towards me. That's why I'm asking you, are you useful? Only you will know. Okay, I know some who are not useful. What you don't know is one of the greatest protections of your life, to be a useful person. Are you there? Useful to God. You'll be surprised that God will actually protect you. Yes. He will actually keep you because that thing that you are doing is helping. It's helping. Our prophet's plane has almost crashed 3 times. Each time, God bails them out of it. And I believe that it's because he's useful to him. If the guy is wiped out, who is going to go and preach the gospel in some of the God-forsaken places? His last crusade in DRC, we got some of the pictures, the places that they went to. I was like, what are you doing here? People live there, mom, nan, so. Eh! This one is hard. Are you there? They went to some towns. There's no road to the place. Not that there's a bad road. There's no road. So the person is useful. So you keep him alive. You, what about you? It's just a question to ask yourself. It's just because I promise you, as forever, if you die, the way we'll cry, you think we'll remember you forever. But I promise you that by Monday, we're moving on. Monday, Krampo is far. Monday. No, it is just the harshness of life. Recently, we lost a former member. Former because when she got ill, she had to go home. When she passed, the way we cried. I got phone number, people calling me. One lady called, she was wailing. As if we all went to the funeral. Church members who have scattered all over the country, we all met at the funeral last week. We came. Nari, did we not go? Who else was there with her? Did we not all go? Were we not all there? Saturday evening. Saturday what? I'm sitting in my room. There was a gathering in my room. The laughter. The person generating the laughter, she was the one who had called me crying. How is this possible? How is it possible? She was the person cracking the jokes that all of us were laughing. We had not even left the city. Hey, brother. We had not even returned back to our normal life. Oh, I said that evening. And honestly, we felt it. Not that we didn't feel it. Even to go to the graveside, most of the people, it was a very large funeral. Most people didn't go. But interesting people, we all went. But, oh, this is our sister. We are burying her. So if you think that you are so useful, that I mean, that's why you should just be useful to God, Preko. Or you don't understand what I'm saying. Yeah. Be useful to God. Be useful to God. Hallelujah. So the more productive and useful you will be as you are by that riverside. Hallelujah. You'll be more fruitful. Ask your neighbor, are you fruitful? Please ask the neighbor on the other side, when you finish school, who will cry? Please, not that they are crying, that they don't have food though. But who will miss you for any spiritual reason? Eh? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. And you see, those of you who dodge correction, I need you to go and study the scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. What is it for? Profitable for doctrine, so you understand what we believe. For reproof. For correction. Some of you, they don't correct you in your home. So when you're corrected in church, you bore. For instruction in righteousness. Why? Verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You need to understand. Me, I think I'm one of the most blasted bishops in the UD. Kai, my father is always on my case. If I look left, I look right. I haven't seen a blasting for the past 4 months. I wonder what I have not done. Are you there? Are you there? But I can also see that it has helped me. Yeah. And I say to myself, I talk some of you, when we blast you, then you'll call into your shell. I'll not talk again. Me, I would rather say and be corrected. Yeah. It's making a better person. That's why I'm standing here preaching to you this morning. Yeah. You be dodging, dodging. Number two, we're talking about the fruitfulness. You will not wither. You will not wither. Please give us the definition of to wither. Now, our English teacher died early. To wither is to slowly decline. Slowly what? To become weaker and to lose your importance. Some of you were important in your first year, your second year, but your third and fourth year, you are becoming weaker, declining in importance. Run back to your word of God. Are you there? Run back to your word of God. Do not go down in your importance. Hey. Can you ask your neighbor, please, am I important to you? What did your neighbor say? You see, what you need to understand is that your physical life, you are withering more every day. That's how age comes. So when you look at your pictures, you go, you are better till you get to a certain age. After that age, as every year passes, yeah, there's some declining. Some of you right now, your father is very ugly, but you are very good looking, but you're actually on the way there. Are you in the church? Please don't laugh, because yours is coming. Yeah, it's the withering. We can see lines on our face that didn't used to be there. We can see muscles that are sagging in a certain way. That's the physical way. That's how it is. That's why 2 Corinthians 4:16 says that, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, even though our outward man, the physical part is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed every day. Amen. So don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. That's why sometimes you see an 80-year-old man. He may even be sitting in a wheelchair, but Charlie, when he speaks, when he begins to preach, The word, full of the word, full of the word. Billy Graham wrote books until he died. Yeah, he was an old man. So the outside withering, but the inside, but some of you are withering on the inside because there's no word there. Are you there? Yeah. And it depends on your atmosphere. It depends on what you are putting into yourself. And some of you, I want to show you some pictures of what you are putting into yourself, which is making you decline. It's making you decline. Hey! You are putting this. You see, these are things which, if you stay on these things in your life, every day you are on football. Your Netflix is working well. You're on primetime TV, Instagram, YouTube, the news, your lectures, arguments and fights, movies, Twitter, gossip, TikTok, secular music, pool ball, pornography. This is what you have been eating. Please ask your neighbor, how will you flourish? How? There's another slide. There's another one. Look at it. Money, busyness, ambition, popularity. This is what is taking your time. This is what you are feeding on. Success, relevance, entertainment, image and status. Last, you are withering. You are withering. You are withering. All of them are not going to give you any spiritual goods. Am I talking to you or you have traveled? Please, I want to finish my preaching. I want to finish my message. I want to finish my message. Then the third and last thing. Whatever you are doing in life, it will prosper. This is the effect of the riverside atmosphere. If you are based on the word, because the scriptures will guide you into prosperity. Are you there? It will guide you into prosperity. Those of you who were early this today, I shared with you Psalm 119 verse 105, that his word is a lamp to your feet. You'll be surprised. You just start reading the Bible. You'll be amazed at how it guides you. Are you there? This morning, I was sharing a scripture with Lady Rev, you know. I told her that this scripture, I saw it, I've seen it, I've read it before, but it has never occurred to me to use it to contend or to pray. Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and your water, and I shall take sickness away from the midst of thee. I said, this prayer. Too many of our people are sick. Too many. Too much sickness. Are you there? Yeah. Then it goes on, verse 26. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. I said, Lord, I claim it for my church. I'm going to start using this. This is my scripture. Yeah, this is my scripture. I've received information from my scripture. Are you there? I'm going to start praying with it. Because you must pray with scripture. Some of you are praying from the air. But when you pray with the scripture, you know it will come to pass. These were words God shared with his people. Am I not part of his people? Hey, are we not part of his people? Or we should be what? I said, no. This sickness thing, we have become too complacent. We accept it. Oh, have you taken your malaria? Please take the drug. By the way, sickness, we are sucking it. Nobody, no more miscarriages and things. No. Are you in the church or you have traveled? The scriptures will give you wisdom. Yeah. Some of you owe because you don't know that the scriptures say don't owe. Hey, I want you to stand to your feet this morning. I want you to just pray for yourself. And I want you to pray only one thing. Lord, help me to love your word. The reason you don't listen to preaching, the reason you don't read your Bible, you don't like his word. Ask him for it. Lord, help me. Help me.
Lord.
Help me to love your word.
Help me.
We have to close in 10 minutes, so quickly.
Help me. Father, this is true. The Lord, we have not liked your word. We have not even gone after your word. But Father, today there's our cry. There's our plea, Lord, that you would help us. Open your mouth and begin to ask the Lord to help you. To help you, to put your heart a desire for his word.
Lift your voice up and pray. Lift your voice up and pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray that you will love the word of God. Pray for the grace to read the word of God. To listen to the word of God all the time. To never get tired of it. Lift your voice and pray. 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 Lift your voice and pray.
The Lord, you help us today. Let them be a day for Sunday.
towards us. Forgive our stubbornness, O God. Help us to fall in love with your word one more time. Help us, O God, to put this word in our spirit, that, Lord, we will be planted by the rivers of water. Forgive us our stubbornness, O God, and help us to change in the mighty name of Jesus. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you are here this morning and you can see that you do not have a correct view of the word of God. You'd agree that you don't even own a Bible because you've not been interested. But you are saying that, Lord, from today, I want it to change. I just want you to put up your hand where you are. I'm just going to pray a prayer for you. I'm not calling you forward. Just lift up your hand. We're going to pray. You're saying that, Lord, I want to put it up well. Put it up well. You want to say, Lord, I want to be serious with your word. I want to love your word. I'm still waiting for hands to go up. Just lift it up. Don't be so proud. Lift it up. Lift it up. Father, see our hands this morning. See our hands this morning. As we have lifted our hands. Some of you shepherds, your hands should be up because you don't like the word. Father, grant us a liking of your word. Put it in our spirit. Help us, Lord, to not go a day without reading your scripture. To not go a day without listening to a message. Have mercy on us, Lord. From today, help us to read the books our Father has written and to receive instruction thereby, that, Lord, we will be planted by the riverside, bearing our fruit in season, that we will not wither, but will bear fruit in season. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you are here this morning and you need to give your life to Jesus. You are here, you are not sure that if the time is up for you to die, you are not sure you are going to heaven, but you want to go. I want to advise you to give your life to Jesus this morning. And so if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just lift up your right hand. We're going to pray together. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you've lifted it, allow the pastors and the ushers to just guide you. Just come to me and let us pray together. I'm seeing your hands. Just come to me. I see two. I see three. Don't be shy. Don't worry about anybody. Just come to me. We're going to pray together. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Your heart is beating within you. Jesus is indicating something to you. Just come and join them. Just come. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I'm just waiting for you this morning. Your heart is beating. You're like, I need to receive Jesus. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of myself. Come, come, come. Don't worry about your neighbor. Just come. We're going to pray a prayer together. God bless you. God bless you. And if you're standing in front, let us pray this prayer. You want to say, Lord Jesus, lift your hands up to the Lord and let's pray. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. Thank you for paying the price for me. Thank you for the cross. I receive your sacrifice, O God. Please wash away my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. And Lord, from today, may you be my Savior. May you be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
With all of me, I want to praise you.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.